Well, I believe today that there are many things that many people are going through. It seems like I've had an influx of people that have been talking to and even accidentally, quote unquote, accidentally running into in the last several weeks. They're going through loss of some sort. They've had a death of the family. They're going through some sort of a challenge in life, and they're really needing God to comfort them. So I believe today, as we'll begin for today in the next few weeks, I want to talk about comforted by God, that God wants to comfort you in those things. But how many know sometimes to be comforted by God, you need to make sure you're in the right position and you're doing what you're supposed to do? Amen. So I want to start that today. What is it like to be comforted by God? Let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We'll pray and get into what God, I believe, wants to say today. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for us gathered together today in your house to worship you, but also learn of you, God, and to have a deeper relationship with you, Father. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today, that you'll give us wisdom, that you'll give us insight, God, into where we need to go from day. Lord, even in tribulation, even in trials, Lord, you comfort us. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Many times when we're needing comfort, when we need encouragement, when we need a positive word, as you may say, sometimes people run away from other people because they want to be kind of hidden. They want to be tucked away. They want to be uncomforted in private. They want to just be left alone. But I believe that the most comfort, the most healthy comfort, the only comfort, true comfort that we can experience is that of God. And when we try to run away from God, then it leaves us uncomforted. When we try to run away from church, it leaves us uncomforted. What better place to go to be comforted, to experience an encouragement, to experience God's presence than in the house of God and closer to him? That's the very best place to be. But many, many times in our society, we see people that are hurting, that are discouraged, that are disconnected from God, that are running away from God, and that is the only true source of God. So I want to establish that first, as we've just read in the Word of God, that God is here to comfort us. And he knows that even it's read in the Word here that there'll be tribulation. I love what Brother Chris shared a while ago, and that is he's faced some adversity times when he knows that he was on the right path, but he stuck with his faithfulness to God. And that's what we have to learn to do. In the times that we feel disconnected, in the times we feel discouraged, in the times that we feel like we're comforted less and less, we're farther away from God, those are the times that we need to press in more and more. And so God wants to comfort us, but there's some things that we need to do. There are some things that actually leads to our discouragement. The first thing that leads to our disconnect, to discouragement many times, is that we drift away from God. We pull away from God. We pull away from his truth. We pull away from his correction. We pull away from his life source. If we were to disconnect these lights from the source of power, they wouldn't work. The lights are in good shape. There's new bulbs in them. The wiring is good going to him. But if there's no source to bring light on, then there's no way the light can come on. It's the same way in our life. God's given us the ability, all that we need, to connect to the source of life. And if we back away from that, if we cause distance to be between us and God, then we're leaving our source of life. And so we can't experience life, not true life, not real life. We can't experience that kind of life if we're farther away from God. So that could be one thing we need to look at. Maybe we're drifting away from God. Another thing is that we've neglected God's principles. Neglected God's principles. There are principles in the Word of God that God gives us that we need to walk in alignment with. In the New Testament, it talks about that we abide in him and him in us. We've got to stay connected. It's like the tree branch here that we see on the tree. It's nice and healthy and growing and strong and produces fruit even. But if that limb were to be cut off from that tree, there's no more life there. So that limb must stay connected to the tree. There's no life in the limb without the tree and without the root system. So that's the way it is in our life. We've got to stay connected to the vine, stay connected to life. And as we do that, even when we experience wind and storm and rain and all these things, tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis, seems like, as we experience all those things, we're still connected to the life source. And as long as we're connected to him and he's connected to us, then he will flow into us what we need. So we've got to make sure that we don't neglect God's principles. That could be a source of disconnect and discouragement. The third thing is that we've lost our purpose. You've heard me say over and over again how much you have a purpose in God. You have a purpose in life. You have a purpose with someone else. No matter what your age is, there is purpose for your life. You can't forget that. As a matter of fact, if you think that you have no purpose in life, you're in disunity with God. Because God says you were created for a purpose. So you may not see that right now. Maybe there's a transition between one purpose to another purpose. You know, that could be. But always remember, when there's, as long as there's breath in our bodies, that you have purpose. I think of Miss Betty Ansink, now in Magnolia Manor, just up the street from us here. God has purpose in her life to bring life to other people. She's praying with people that have no relationship with God. People that would not experience God any other way except for Miss Betty Ansink being right there to pray for them. So no matter what age you are, we've got to remember that you have purpose. But that could cause us, that could cause any of us, to think that we're discouraged, we're disconnected, we're so far from God. So I wanted to preface that this morning with us realizing that many times these three things can cause a hindrance in our life and cause us to disconnect from God. And it's God not disconnecting from us. It's us disconnecting from God. But there's one particular topic I want to talk about today, and it's actually already been covered. Pastor Tim was beating all around it a while ago. I said, God, you're talking to us. And the Word, it's a simple instruction found in the Word of God. It's a simple principle found in the Word of God that I want to kick this off with today, that we need to remember, that we need to draw close to, that we need to be part of. As a matter of fact, every part of our relationship with God evolves around this one word: prayer. Prayer. We must pray. See, prayer is our relationship. Prayer is our communication to God. And as we'll see today, prayer has a much deeper meaning than maybe we have seen in the past. We'll break it down a little bit today. And we can have a religious attitude toward prayer, as we'll see some did in the Word here in Luke shortly. We'll have a religious attitude toward prayer, but we miss the entire point. We miss all that God wants to have, because it's just a time of we bow our knee to pray, and we talk in this thee and thou, God, I love us to you, and we talk in this language that God says, wait, you know, I don't think God talks like that. King James Version does, but we need to come to God as real as we are, as real as we're talking today, as real as we talk to each other. God says he wants to be our friend, that never to leave us nor forsake us. So how do you talk to your friend? That's the same way you need to talk to God. When we come to God in prayer, God, I love you and I thank you. And Lord, I'm glad you're my friend, and I'm glad you're listening to me right now. I'm glad you do walk with me and you do take every step with me in life. So that's the attitude that we need to have, not a religious attitude, not a legalistic, well, I've got to get up in the morning and I've got to pray for 3.5 minutes and then I'll be good. Well, it's good to pray, but not in a legalistic attitude. We need to be anxious to, good morning, God. We can be praying while we're eating our cereal. We can be praying while we're driving. We can be praying while we're in the shower. We can be praying doing anything. We can be praying that I'll hit that golf ball 300 yards. We can be praying anytime. I need to pray more during that time. Amen. But God wants us to have communication with him. God desires for us to communicate with him. He loves us. And prayer is important. Here's one example of the effect of prayer in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And you could probably all recite this verse before I get into the breakdown of prayer. But in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name, that's all of us, will humble themselves and pray. He wants us to pray and seek my face, he says, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. So we see that there are major results, there are major blessings, there are major responses as we pray. And let me say this, to pray, we've got to humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before God to pray. We realize, God, I need you. I need to bow my head before you. Not that there's any power in bowing our head, but it's just a sign of being humble before God. God, I need you in this situation. I need you to speak life into this situation. I need you to speak an answer to this situation. I need you to speak a healing to this situation. Prayer will change your life. Prayer will completely change your life. And I believe that we can always have an attitude of prayer. You've heard me say it. I don't necessarily put a period into my prayer to say amen. I just, to be continued. And I just go on with life and I'm going to pray some more. And, something comes to my mind, I'm praying about it. God, I need your help in this thing right here. And not only that, but God sometimes, as I've always got that communication open with him, sometimes he speaks things to me when I'm not expecting it. Why? Because I've got that communication open. Prayer is important. A thing about prayer, too, is that when you're communicating with God, when you always have that channel open, you've always got the lights, kind of like a DSL, it's always there. When you hit Google, it pops right up. You don't have to wait 3 seconds. It's there. But God is always there. But the thing about it is that God will speak to you when you need an answer. And if you're listening, then you know, oh, that's God speaking. But if we're not listening, if we've cut off that communication with God, God could be speaking and you don't even know it. Number one, you don't even realize it's him speaking. No, that can't be God. That's too good. No, that can't be. Many times we say, well, I'm confused and I'm discouraged and I'm disconnected. All those things are of the devil. God is not confusion. God is not disconnection. God is not discouragement. God is the opposite of all those things. And so when God speaks to you, it's going to always be encouragement. It's going to always be to connect with you. It's going to always be to encourage you to go further. That's the way God speaks to us. But we've got to develop an ear to where we're communicating with God to put ourselves in a place that he can communicate back to us. I can't tell you how many hundreds and thousands of answers God has given me over the years that I was just totally blindsided by because I made sure that I was available for him to speak to me. God will do that. I promise you God will do that. He'll bless you. So today we'll begin in Luke 11. There are some principles that I want to go through here. But in Luke 11, we see the legalistic side of Jesus' disciples. We see that as we read here in Luke 11:1, now it came to pass as Jesus was praying. So number one, if we stop right there and see that if Jesus did something, then it must be important, right? If Jesus were praying, then maybe we should pray too. So we see that there is high importance, there's high priority, and we see that even Jesus was praying in front of other people. It says that he was praying in a certain place when he ceased. He was interrupted. He was praying and he ceased. And then one of his disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Isn't that interesting? Teach us to pray. Jesus was praying, and I believe that during this time, see, the Jews looked at prayer like a legalistic thing. They read it. Maybe they read a prayer. They recited it. Maybe they learned it. They memorized it. So their prayer was more of just a formality at that time. Well, they're in the presence of Jesus praying, and Jesus was doing everything except for it being reciting a verse or reciting something they had heard. Jesus was really, he was going off the monologue there. And so they said, what they were saying was, Jesus, sorry to interrupt you, but teach us to pray like you're praying right now. Teach us. See, I believe that this is me. I believe that Jesus was praying with passion. I believe that Jesus was praying with fervency. I believe that Jesus was praying from his heart. He was praying to God, and he wasn't just going through a formality. He wasn't just saying, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. Pray my Lord's soul to keep. When I die, I should wake. He wasn't praying that. If he was, then the Jews were, okay, eat our crackers and let's go to bed. But they said, Jesus, excuse me, will you teach us to pray like you're praying here? There was something that caught their ear, something that caught their eye, something that was powerful, something that was life-changing that they wanted to learn what they could do to be like Jesus here in Luke 11. It wasn't a ritual. Teach us how to pray. Isn't that interesting? So Jesus' response to this was what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is awesome. There's been a friend of mine, Dr. Mark Rutland, an awesome man of God, wrote a book on the Lord's Prayer, and it is awesome. And he prays it, and God has just opened up heaven for him. And I think that's great. I believe the Lord's Prayer is something that we should pray. But you know what? I think there's more to it than just praying and reciting the Lord's Prayer. If we're not careful, we're going back to what the Jews were doing here. We just recite and memorize something and not really know what we're saying. What's the good in reciting something if you don't believe what you're praying, believe what you're saying, then you could be singing the ABCs. It really doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So there's more to this prayer, I believe, that God wants to speak to us, Jesus wants to show us, to put principles in place that we can, if we follow these principles, it will change our life. And it covers really every part of life. And that's where I want to go today. I'm going to read Matthew 6, 9 through 13 first, and then we'll break it down. I'm going to give you seven principles that's found right here in the scripture, and that's what I want to do today. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. That is a powerful, powerful prayer. And those words were spoken by Jesus. But let's break that down. The first phrase is our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. I believe that's saying that we will personally connect with God. We're addressing God as our Father. Our Father. I mean, when my children come to me and say, Father, I listen. I mean, ears are up and I'm at attention. And when Bailey comes to me and says, Papa, that's her way of saying G-Pa, I listen. I say, baby, what in this world do you want? When Silas comes to me and Zelda comes to me, G-Pa, I say, honey, I'm dropping everything. What do you want? You've got my attention. That's the way God is. So when we come to God, we say, our Father in heaven. You know what? He drops everything. The cool thing is he can hear all millions of us at one time saying millions of different things at one time. That's how much he loves you. That's how much his ear is attuned to you. Our Father in heaven. It's a personal connection with God. That's the way we're supposed to open our prayer. We don't have to say those exact words. There again, if we do, it's just we're reciting something. But God wants us to address him, to give connection to him, for him to know that we want to connect with him as much as he wants to connect with you. And he does. He wants to have conversation with you. He wants you to have conversation with him. But here Jesus refers to God as his Father. Jesus is praying to his Father. Our Father. Imagine how Jesus viewed his Father. Imagine how Jesus viewed his Father. Now I realize that in our human form, if we've had some bad experiences with our dad, with our father, that can cause us to get a distorted attitude of how our Father God is. But listen, our Father God is perfect. He's a good Father. He never makes a mistake. So if we can somehow see past our personal experience with our earthly father, you know what? Our earthly fathers have made some mistakes, but you know what? Let me tell you, hold on to your seat. I've made mistakes too. And maybe you have. So we've all made mistakes. We've all come short of the glory of God. So before we put all of our faith and all of our expectancy in our earthly father and say, well, that's no good because I was disappointed here and there. Look at our heavenly Father who is perfect in all of his ways. He loves you perfectly. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's forgiven. And that's another topic for another day. But God is awesome. But if we have a view of God like Jesus had a view of his Father, and it's the same God. It's the same Father God. We view him the same way. See, our view of God will have an impact on how we receive from him. Our view of God will have an impact on how we can receive from him. If we come to God with a wall, we're calling him God, but we're just kind of got our face not really facing him, then we're going to expect or we're going to receive the same way that we view him. If we view him as a loving Father, loving God, our Father in heaven. I know you love me. You have the very best for me. Approaching him in that way and our view of God will change the way that God will respond and the way that we receive from God. Amen? So that we relate to him. But in Romans 8:15 it says, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, many times our response to our earthly father is in fear. There's a bondage in that type of fear. It's more of a scared, it's nervous, it's anxious. That's the fear that it's describing here. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage. Notice that spirit here is small s. It's not of the Holy Spirit, it's of the spirit of man. Spirit of bondage, again to fear, nervous, anxious, stomach in knots, I'm scared, I'm going to go hide. You're not receiving that spirit, but it goes on to say, but you receive the spirit. Notice how that's spelled with a capital S. That's of the spirit of God. You receive the spirit of adoption. In other words, you weren't necessarily maybe born into the family, but the same attributes, the same benefits, the same inheritance that the ones that are born in the bloodline, you have the same benefits of those because you were adopted. So you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. If we were to put that in today's language, it would be Abba, Father. It would be Papa. It'd be Daddy. Our Daddy who art in heaven. Our Papa who art in heaven. You see the difference? You see our view and our perception of how it changes? That, and I don't mean that we approach God in a disrespectful form. I'm saying that we approach him in a way that we're connected to him, that we know him and he knows us. Papa, I love you. Daddy, I love you. See the difference? See the power in that? See his attitude toward you? So I believe that's the first phrase here. Abba, Father, to relate to him in that way. It's a personal connection. The second phrase is, hallowed be your name. That's really an attitude of worship. Hallowed be your name. It's what I call a running toward God. We run to God. Hallowed be your name. We're running toward him. We're leaving everything else that's not important, everything else that holds us back. We're running toward God. It's a heart of worship. It's a worship toward God. Hallowed be your name. I honor you, Papa. I honor you, Daddy. I honor you. You love me, and I'm drawing close to you. It's a running toward God emotionally, spiritually, in every way. And even mentally. See, the Bible talks about how we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. That's the approach that it's saying here. Hallowed be your name. It's an approach to God with everything that we have. It's a total worship to God. Not just 10:30 Sunday morning, but 24/7, 7 days a week, that we have that approach that we run toward God. Even in times of adversity, even in times when your car breaks down, even in times when you don't know where the next $20 bill will come from. Hallowed be your name. I run toward you, God. Everything I have comes from you, and God, I'm coming to you to give everything back toward you. God, that's all that matters. I'm running toward you, God. I'm placing my faith, I'm placing my trust in you. I'm running to you. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What does a strong tower symbolize? It symbolizes a place of protection, a strong tower. Do you need protection? Many times we need protection. We need protection from the things that the devil wants to come hit us with, from the things that the devil wants to take us out with. But as we come to God, as we say, hallowed be your name, as we run toward God, it's a place of protection from all those things that we're not strong enough physically or humanly to counter. But you know what? Through the power and the strength of God, we can counter anything. As Pastor Tim said a while ago, all things are possible in Jesus Christ, who gives us the strength. And so each one of us can have that strength as we approach God as a strong tower, a place of protection. It says, the righteous run to it and are what? Safe. There's safety. There's comfort. There's peace. Everything that you have need of, everything, nothing exempt, is all found as we run toward God. Strength, righteousness, peace, provision, victory, it's all in him. As we run to him. The third phrase is, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is probably one of the hardest phrases that we can pray. Why? Because it says, God, your will comes before my will. Well, I have a good plan, God, so maybe for this one time we can pray your will second and maybe my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No, it specifically says, Jesus gives us to go by, as we remember to pray in our own language and pray in our own heart toward God, we must remember that God's kingdom must come first. God's will, God's plan must come first. Rather than praying our will, God, I think this is what should happen. And many times we pray according to our plan. We pray according to us seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, I was just confronted with 10 examples here. Many times I've prayed about a situation, and you know what? God will cause another situation to come. I'm praying about this, and all of a sudden I'm confronted with something else. And my first instinct is, oh my God, I didn't need something else to handle here. I need to get this done first. Has anybody been there? I'm headed this direction. I'd like to get this resolved first, because if you're like me, you like to check it off and then go to the next. Well, rather than checking it off, I just added section B to that same, and it's still unchecked. And so God brings another challenge in my life. Why? Because I need something from this one in order to get past that one. Man, God is awesome. That's all I can say. And so as I pray, God, your will be done, what I do is release myself of it and let God control it. I've learned that I can actually trust God. That's been a tough one for me. That I can actually trust God. God, okay, I know you're familiar with what I'm going through here, Lord. I know that you've probably heard me mention this 10 minutes ago. But, God, could you maybe somehow bring an answer to this? And then all of a sudden, wham, here comes something else. It's like, God, I didn't dial out on the right line. I must have got somebody else. But, Lord, could you please? He said, Mike, trust me. I've got it. But you need something from this experience to take with you to complete the current experience. If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Matthew 6:33 is a very, very well-known scripture that you hear me quote almost every Sunday. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here's the promise. That's done first. And all these things shall be added to you. I noticed that scripture as I was reading it this week, and it says all these things, but there's one thing that sometimes I run past, and that is it's added. In other words, when it's added, that means it's going to come later. It's added. It didn't say that seek first the kingdom of God and you'll have all these things. It could have said that. It could happen. But he says that all these things will be added. That means there's a process to the addition. There's a process. It's going to be added. But as you do that, I so much appreciate what Brother Chris said. He said, it's hard. It's hard right now every week. And there's a car that I want that I can't afford right now. And so he was being honest with us. He was letting us know really a place where we've all experienced or experiencing is that there are things that we have need of. There are things that we have desire of, but we've not yet achieved them. You know what? Don't ever lose sight of those things you want to achieve. Don't ever lose sight of those things that you're dreaming. Don't ever lose them. Because you know what? They will be added. There's a process to the addition. That was revelation to me this week. Hot off the press. He said, you remember all those things? Been married 33 years. You remember how hard it was when we didn't even have money to buy a gallon of milk? And I'm being honest with you. Lived in Westminster Apartments. And we were there and we'd have somebody come over and visit. They had no idea that we didn't have a gallon of milk in the refrigerator. And before they left, we looked, and just underneath the plant, sitting on the little pine table that came from Gibson McDonald Furniture on Community Road, underneath that plant was a $20 bill. And it happened over and over and over and over. He said, you remember those times when it was hard? And he said, now you actually have the ability to give somebody a $20 bill, that you're on the other side of that blessing? He said, it's because I've brought the process of addition into your life, because you've put me first. We could stay there a while. The next phrase of his prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Notice the shift that in this next phrase Jesus was telling us, as we pray his will and it's all about Jesus, then it turns to where he says, you've prayed about my will, now begin to express what you would like. See, there's a place where God wants to hear what you want. There's a place that God wants to hear what you desire in your life. But before that, he wants you to pray his will be done. It really boils down to priorities. Give us this day our daily bread. Number four, depend on Jesus for everything. Depend on him for everything. Everything. From a pair of shoes to a new car. Everything. Depend on him for every single thing in your life, because he wants to bring those things about in your life. Everything from a pair of shoes to a new car. He cares about all those things. Y'all have heard me say it? I've been 9 years wanting to live on St. Simon's. From the first meeting that I met with the elders said, Pastor Mike, we'd love to help you to live on St. Simon's so you can be close to the church. There's one pastor, I think, that lived on St. Simon's. That was Pastor Don and Miss Ann. You lived on the island, and it was very effective for the church. So eight and a half years ago now, almost 9 years ago, the elder said, we'd love to have you live on the island if God leads you to do that. So in my spirit, it said, yes, God's told me to do that. We're going to come tomorrow. I'm going to be over here. We're going to leave here tomorrow. Ain't that right, honey? She said, you ain't selling my house. And I said, wait a minute. I know what God told me. You better get right, girl. And she said, no, you ain't telling me. God's going to have to talk to me himself. So I said, Lord, well, I guess we'll have to put that on ice, because you know where this discussion's going to go quick. So either you're going to have to come to her in her sleep and deal with her, or I ain't going to live on the island like you told me I was. And God said, take a chill pill, bud. Give me some time. I'll work this out. There's a process to the addition. I said, but God. So last January of 2017, woke up one day, we're minding my own business, taking care of things, going through my checklist for the day, and Crystal says, you know what, Mike? I said, what, honey? She said, I'm ready to move to the island. I said, good God. What I wanted to say was, what took you so long, woman? But I dare not. Thank God for wisdom. So the process of me knowing exactly who to call and what lot to go after and the subdivision that I wanted to be in. And think about Crystal. When she's ready to do something, she releases it to me. It's like, you go, baby, you take it. And man, when I got that green light, all you saw was dust. There was nothing else in sight. You couldn't see the bald head or nothing. It was dust. So I started on the next day on phone calls. I put everything else on hold, and I said, we're going to have a house built in 5 days. We're going to be on the island. So I called about the lot, and the lot, once finally got the lady on the phone, she said, no, it's not for sale, and it's not going to be for sale. If I do sell it, it's going to be sold to somebody else. I said, God, what in the world? You give me the green light in here, you close the door. He didn't say anything. So I made another phone call. I said, hey, you've got a lot here in the neighborhood, and I want to build a house in there. You've got a nice lot. Will you sell it? He said, nope. He said, I'm getting ready to build it myself. I said, okay. Thank you, buddy. Trust me, Mike. And so God decides to put a lot on the market. The people were getting ready to build, so they had already had the lot partially cleared. They'd already done the survey, already done the engineering report, already had the house plans done, already paid the tap-in fee for the Glen County. And as y'all know, that's a little chunk of change there. Already had all those things done, puts it on the market. They found a house up the road, already built. They were moving that with their little baby and just sell what they've got. And we found out about it. And God blesses us with that lot. It's just a miracle. I mean, it's just a miracle. Amen. It's all God. Depend on him for everything. He wants to be included in every part of your life. The small things, the health issues, the financial issues, the dream issues, the wants, the desires, the needs, all of those things he wants to be included in, every bit of it. And did I mention even the details of the ones in the middle? He wants to be included in those too. That's how much he loves you. Psalm 121, 1 and 2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Lift up your eyes. The fifth phrase, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's also a tough one. He really put some tough ones in here, y'all. I'm not kidding. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, we've got to keep our heart right with God and with people. We've got to keep our heart right with God and with people. I'll say this. If our heart's not right with people and if it's laying on our responsibility, if our heart's not right with people, then more than likely our heart's not right with God. The Bible says, as much as it concerns you, be at peace with all men. As much as it concerns you. Now, I must say, there are people in my life that as much as it concerned me, I did everything I could do, and then I went one more mile. And for those people that I did that, and they still didn't respond or reciprocate, it's out of my hands. So there are people today that I've done that, going the extra mile, and it's not going. And rather than choking them and saying, you're going to do it God's way, I say, God, now you can take care of it. And that's all he wants me to do. As far as it concerns me, not to do God's work, but to do my work, to make it my responsibility to fulfill what I'm supposed to do, it stops there. And to continue in that same forgiveness. And if I were to get a phone call this afternoon from any one of these people and say, Mike, I've realized that I'm wrong. Please forgive me. You know what my response should be? I forgive you. No questions. No but ifs. No, you sign here and maybe I'll love you again. My response should be, I forgive you. And as long as my heart is there, then I'm doing all that God's required of me to do. But it says that, God, you forgive me of my debts. In other words, forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of my sins. Because you know what? There may be some in my life that I need to ask God to forgive me of. Forgive me of my debts. Forgive me of my sins as I also forgive those who sinned against me. God, help me to release those things to you, to be right with people and to be right with God. See, my attitude toward my brothers, my attitude toward other people will affect my attitude toward God. And my ability to forgive people or lack of forgiving people will also either bless or hinder this way too. That's very important. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil. It's easy to be overcome with it. It's easy when you've been wronged so badly. When you've been done everything but had a knife in your back. Everything. It's easy to say, you know what? They'll be the last person on earth that I'll ever forgive. It's easy to cop that attitude. But it says here, don't be overcome with that spirit. If you do, it'll kill you. It'll eat you up. It's not going to affect them. They couldn't care less. They'll live to be 200,000 years old. And you'll be sitting here choking. Let it go. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what? I love you so much, I'm going to send you a Father's Day card anyway. That's our attitude. You know what? I'm going to send you a $50 gift card to Outback. That's before they close. Maybe it should be another place so they don't have to drive to Jacksonville. But overcome evil with good. Always have an attitude of forgiveness. You know what? When you do, there'll be a happiness and peace that comes over you that you've never experienced before. To know that you're operating in the strength of God. God, I don't have the strength to do this. But I know that in order for you to forgive me, I've got to forgive and I've got to live in an attitude of forgiveness. As I do that, God, you're going to bless me. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to sleep good at night. I'm going to release that thing and not let it affect me. You know what? We've got to take and put more stock in what God says about us than what other people say about us. We've got to take as truth what the Bible says about us rather than what people may say. Well, do you know that? And we put stock in that sometimes, and man, it just blows our life out of the water. What about what God says about you? How important is that? The next phrase that Jesus led us in, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now let me say, if you were to go back in the meaning, the true meaning of this verse, it does not mean that God, Jesus, causes you to be tempted. See, he allows temptation, but temptation does not come from God. Temptation only comes from the devil. But God will allow, just like Job. He says, remember the story of Job? the devil wanted to tempt Job. He wanted to do all these things. God said, okay, you can do it, but you'll see he loves me. And so God says that about each one of us. God says, devil, I'll allow you to tempt them, but you know what? All it's going to do is push them closer to me. You watch. And so then Satan comes and he brings us temptation, and it causes us, you know, well, no, devil, I see that shoe, I can see behind that little pretty face of yours, and I'm going to say, no, you don't. Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, God, give me the ability to stand against my enemy. Give me the guts to stand against my enemy. So when he does come, no matter what kind of face he puts on, no matter what kind of language he uses, I'll be able to stand against what he's trying to do in my life. You know, there's a place that we must come to that we're ready to fight. If you've ever loved somebody, then you know there comes a point that you have to fight for that love. Amen? You hear me? There's only one perfect love, and that's the love of God. And any other love, sometimes there's things that slips in from time to time that has a human touch to it, and when it gets that human touch to it, many times it's going to cause us to have to fight for that love. And if you've not experienced that yet, you will. That you've got to fight for that real love. Fight for God's love. And that's what it means. It means that when something else comes along that is, you give second thought to, as Bailey would say, then you have the strength through this prayer, God, help me to fight back. Help me to show the same love to you that you show toward me. That it's never changing, that it's always secure in you, that it's never wavering. Help my love to show forth in you. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. See, that's an instruction to us. That's an instruction to us. Help me to fight. Help me to be strong. See, there is such a thing called a spiritual warfare. If there wasn't, then we wouldn't have to put on the whole armor of God. Why put on armor to go to Burger King? I mean, there's going to be a time you're going to have to fight. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. In other words, you're not even going to be able to stand if you don't have the armor of God on. But if you put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, the devil's slick, he's strong, and he's been practicing for a long, long time. But when you put on what God has for you, then you'll be able to outthink and outdo even the devil's best. You can do it. He'll give you strength to do that. And if you were to drop down to verse 18 of Ephesians 6, it says, praying always, there's that word, praying always, that's how it comes, that's how the strength comes, that's how you put on the armor of God, to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. We're not blind and stupid, but we're being watchful. To this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Fight the devil through prayer. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. Watch this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. When you think of fervent, what do you think of? When you think of fervent, you think passion. What'd you say? Sweat. Just pouring your, fervent means you see veins popping out of the necks. Fervent is you're all in. Fervent is power. So it's not just the little sweet prayer that maybe there's a time to pray, but it's the effective, fervent prayer, the red hot boiling over prayer of a righteous man. It avails much. The promise of that is that you're going to see results. It avails much. In other words, there's something that you can expect out of that. See, if we pray, really pray, expecting something, it might fuel our fire a little bit. Rather than praying just as it's the thing to do. We need to come together on Monday night and we need to pray and then go home. No, we need to pray on Monday night, on Sunday morning at 9:00. We need to pray during these prayer times with an effective, fervent passion, sweat, seriousness that we're God. You said in your word that as I pray, there's going to be some results to come out of this. How many needs results out of your prayers this morning? Anybody? Amen. We want to pray, but we want to see God bring it about. And then lastly, number 7, the final phrase is, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We've got to have faith in God's ability. Faith in God's ability. Do you know what? He's taking care of you all of your life. What makes you think that he's going to drop the ball this afternoon? What makes you think that all of a sudden he's going to drop it and say, oops, I made a mistake, sorry. No, he's got you. He's got you covered. As Pastor Tim said a while ago, he's got your back. Why? Because we put all faith and trust in his abilities that, God, you got this. I don't see how you're going to work it. You know what, God? I'm not perfect and I made mistakes, and probably because of that, you're not going to answer my prayers. No. He knew you were going to make a mistake. He knew that, oh my, you're going to be human. Imagine that. So he knows that we're going to slip and we're going to fall. But you know what? As we pray this prayer from our heart with passion, just as Jesus prayed to Father God, as we pray this prayer and have faith in God's ability, he's going to bring all things together. Nothing is impossible with him who believes. We've got to believe. We've got to believe. We've got to have faith in God. We've got to have belief in his ability and his power. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, now is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, say anything, anything, underline that, that if we ask anything according to his will. And see, we've already prayed. We've already, remember, in the Lord's Prayer, we're already praying his will be done. So God already knows our heart is for his will to be done. So as we're praying for his will because we've already said, God, your will be done in this situation. So that's part of our prayer. But as we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, and we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We have the petitions that we asked of him. We have the petitions that we've asked of him. We have the petitions we've asked of him. See, God wants to answer your prayer. If you're disconnected from God today, if you feel like you just need comfort today, you know what? The first thing I would say do today is to pray. The first thing we need to do is pray. God, I love you. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Papa. And just go down. Just follow these principles that I believe that Jesus was telling his disciples that day. There's more to it than just reciting a poem. There's more to it than just saying words that's been written. God wants us to use the framework that he's given us today and to talk to him like a friend. Like we would talk to Daddy and Papa, and he loves us, and know that he's going to answer our prayers. God wants to comfort you today. He wants to know that he is here for you. God has no other agenda, nothing else to do except to comfort you and to bless you today. He wants to fulfill every desire of your heart. That's how serious God is with you. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Father, I'm reminded of the day, Lord, that we were not even thought of. The day, God, that you went to the cross. That, Lord, you hung on the tree. And that you were abused. Lord, that's an understatement. You were abused. That's so short of what happened. But, Lord, as you were hanging there, none of us were there that day. Not a single one of us was there on that day. We weren't even thought of. Our parents weren't there. Our grandparents weren't there. But, Lord, as you hung there, you had each one of us on your mind. As you hung there, Lord, you knew our name. You knew the situation we would be in today. You knew our past. You knew our present. And you even knew our future. Every single one of us. As you hung on that tree, Lord, there's not a one of us that you didn't think about that day. So, Lord, today you've come to say you're here to comfort. You're here to draw us close to you. You're here, Lord, to love, to bring closer. Yeah, God, there are some today that maybe have even purposely turned their back toward you. But even that one person you love and you want to comfort today. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, these next few moments, that I've spoken the words, God, that I feel that you've led me to speak. I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, you will change lives today, draw closer to you, and will never, ever be the same again. And Lord, thank you that your power is strong enough to do that. Your power is strong enough to change minds permanently, God, to where there's not a battle to the right or to the left. I pray, God, that the same battles that's been going on, the same indecisions that's been going on, the same battles, the same fights, the same strongholds that's been going on. Lord, I pray that today, even as we prayed this morning before the service started, I pray that they be broken off in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your work be done. In Jesus' name. If the Lord is speaking to your heart right now in the stillness, the softness of his Spirit, I want to invite you to come stand right here in the altar area. Just stand right here with me. And all you're saying is, Mike, I'm here to receive from God. That's all you're saying. If that's you, come stand right here and I'm going to pray a prayer over you. Just take that step. Just take it. If you need God's comfort, no matter what area it is, no matter what it's for, I don't have to know. I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm just saying, come give it to God. Come give it to God this morning. I need God to comfort me through this thing. I need God to show his face through this thing. I need God to give me direction through this thing. I want to encourage you, as you leave here today, maintain the spirit of prayer. Maintain the spirit of prayer like you've never prayed before. It's our communication to him, and it's an open line for him to communicate back to you. Father, I pray right now as these have come and stood here, these are coming who are coming and standing here before you. Lord, I pray. Church, I feel the presence of God so thick right now. And it's because of your obedience that God's going to change things right now in the Spirit. There's a changing. God said as you pray, don't pray based on what you see. Pray based on what you know. God said to tell you that. Don't pray based on what you see. Don't pray based on what has happened. Pray on what you know. So I'm going to walk in front of you right now and I'm going to carry the word of God. And this is the truth right here. Lord, your truth right now, I just lay on the shoulders of these brothers. And I pray that the truth that is on the pages of your word right now will flow into their heart. I pray, God, that it will overtake what they think. It will overtake the past. It will overtake disappointments. It'll overtake the challenges that they face right now. I pray that the words on this page will actually be power to their hearts. That they will speak the words that are on this page. They'll speak the words that are in this book rather than speaking those things that come natural. God, we don't want what's natural. We want what's supernatural. We don't want our abilities to prevail. Lord, we want your abilities to prevail. God, we recognize that it's impossible with us. Lord, we recognize that it's a challenge for us. God, we recognize that we can only do so much. But Lord, we speak the truth this morning. We speak the truth that all things are possible with you. So Father, I pray that the connection of your word, the power of your word, the anointing of your word will flow into each one of these. God, as they've taken the step of faith to stand right here this morning, I pray that the power and the anointing from this word will revolutionize their lives. In the name of Jesus. 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 To know what God speaks rather than to know what speaks from the heart of man. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're changing it all around. it will never, ever be the same. I thank you, Father, right now, God, that your word prevails. That your word prevails in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for clarity. I pray for clarity that those words on that page, Lord, will be more than just words. It will mean power. It will mean power. It will be a connection with you, Lord, that's never been experienced before. In the name of Jesus. Raise your hands to the Lord this morning. Father, thank you for your answer. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that by faith we see those things as it's written in your word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, spread this word to every life. Spread this word to every heart. God, that our faith will be through the roof this morning. That God, our expectancy will be through the roof this morning. God, that we will not put a limit on what can be done, but we know that through your word, anything can be done in the name of Jesus. So, Father, now we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Just praise him. Just thank him right now. We thank you, Father. We thank you that it is being done in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you worship, God. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. God, we worship you. We worship you. Lord, we begin our prayer. Hallowed be your name. We begin our prayer with worship unto you, Father. We worship you, Lord, with our heart, with our life. We worship you, God. All things are possible. Lord, I pray that any chain that be attached to any heart this morning that is not of you, that is not in the pages of your word, I pray that they be broken off in Jesus' name. Anything that is not of you, I pray that it be gone, that it be broken off in Jesus' name, and that it will not return by the power of Jesus Christ. It will not return. It will not return. It will not return.